Today on Real Radio.
I've been to Red Square and Lenin's tomb in Moscow, Russia, and Lenin is laying there encased. And he looks quite good, looks quite well. But what a wonderful empty tomb we have in Jerusalem today. What a monument. What a memory.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. And the first 10 verses of Joshua chapter 4 tell us that the entire nation of Israel had now passed over the Jordan. Of course, the only way that that could have happened is through a divine miracle. And so the God of Israel himself commanded Joshua to take himself and some of his top men and lay down 12 stones as a memorial to this big event. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a look at this portion of Joshua in a study called Life and What It Should Mean.
Don't you think it's rather interesting that the world today is against Jesus Christ, but yet very few, if any, can ever explain why they're against him? I hear people say, well, I don't want to ever be a Christian or come to Christ, ever. Why? And if you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, it's because somebody ripped them off. It could have been a pastor, it could have been a priest, it could have been a Sunday school teacher, it could have been a, I don't know, anything, whatever. And yet that pastor, that priest, that Sunday school teacher never died for you. Their lives were not written about in the Bible. Jesus was. What's your beef with Christ this morning? Well, I don't like you. You don't have to like me. Well, I don't like Calvary. So what? I'm not into religion. Neither is God. What's your beef with Jesus? Why don't you bow your knee to the one who is so influential regarding love and forgiveness and compassion and mercy, who is truly alive, and let him come on into your life and watch what he does. Are you afraid? Are you scared? He's waiting. He wants to influence you for the good. Making a difference, the Christian ought to be a doer, as we've learned in James before, a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And verse 4 and 5, it says there that Joshua called these 12 men together. And in verse 5, it says that they took the stones from the midst of the Jordan River. I think this is fantastic. All the people had crossed over, and then 12 guys go back into the water. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems kind of strange to go back. But God has a plan. And they're to take these stones, Joshua tells them, and they're going to set them up at the place that they camp out. And so they take them. They obey simply God's command through Joshua. We will influence people by being doers of the word. Nobody will respect you or give you the time of day if you claim to be a Christian and yet you do not do those things that Jesus said that he's asked you to do. He says, why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things I've commanded you? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 22, he says, many in that day of judgment will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name and done many great works in your name, healed people and all? And Jesus says, I'll turn to those who call unto me and say, Lord, Lord, he'll say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work sin. And Jesus says, these will go away into everlasting torment. They were religious on the outside, but they never knew God personally on the inside. They were faithful to go to church. They even tithed a little bit of their God to the God of the Bible. They might have even been involved in Christian service, and yet messed the personal relationship with God. The Bible tells us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that a man came to him crying out, falling down on his knees, and pleading with Jesus, saying, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus turned to that man who you know to be the rich young ruler. Jesus went to the first, or the last, I should say, six, the last six of the commandments written in the Ten Commandments. that have to deal with mankind, man's relationship to man. Jesus took that young rich man, that influential man, to that point, and he said, well, you know what the law says, and he enumerates the last six commandments of the ten that have to do with man's dealing with man. And that rich young ruler said to Jesus, I've kept all these things from my youth. What lack I yet? He was aware that he lacked something. Isn't that amazing? He was rich. You think money's going to help you? You're a fool. Young, oh, if I could just find the fountain of life, the fountain of youth. It's not going to help. Oh, if I just had authority, if I was a ruler, if I could just manage people, that just gives you ulcers. This guy was young, this guy had money, this guy had power, and he says, Jesus, what do I lack still? And Jesus said, why don't you go sell everything you have and come and follow me? Now, God's not calling you to come and sell all that you have to follow him. You know what Jesus did? This man got an A+ on the last six commandments. Jesus took him right to the first commandment that covers them all. Immediately, this man had other gods before God. He loved his things. And the Bible says that he went away sad, and Jesus watched him go away, and Jesus was sorrowful in his heart because this man loved his riches. This man was in great need, and yet everybody in the community thought he must have had his act together. We're to be a doer of the word and make a difference in this life. The second thing we see is in verses 6 and 7 regarding our lives making a difference, and that's regarding to the generation to come. Listen to this. Verse 6 and 7 says, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Isn't that great? That's just something like a kid would ask. What do these stones mean to you? What's these stones all about? Aren't kids great? You know, they tell us that child development people tell us that children who ask a lot of questions will grow up to be smarter. Did you know that? See, you're trying to get your kid to shut up. Why? Hey, thank God, the kid's bright. He wants to know. Tell him. Kids ask questions like, why is the sky blue? Tell him. Do you know why it's blue? Tell them that deep space is absorbing all light frequencies of the spectrum except blue. Did you know that? It sucks up all the frequencies of the light spectrum. Space does, except blue. It repels blue. That's why the sky looks blue. It's not blue in reality. It's truly black. But it's blue to our eyes because the deep space is reflecting blue. The spectrum, the frequency of blue. That's why your jacket's red. It's reflecting red. It's not absorbing red. It's very weird. Very cool. I like that. When God looks at us, we're covered in the what? The blood of Christ. It reflects red back unto God the Father when he looks at us. Kids ask great questions to learn. Why am I alive? Can you tell them? To worship God, son. That's what the Bible says. Maybe your little girl might say, why is water wet? That almost sounds like a stupid question. It's so brilliant it sounds stupid to us. But did you know that you can make water wetter? You can do it in a laboratory. Why is water wet? That's something that Einstein would ask. Why are these stones here? What do they mean to you? Hey, mom and dad, do your kids know what that Bible means in your home? What does this Bible mean to you, Dad? It's a coaster for my Slurpee. Pretty expensive coaster, divine one at that. Mom, what does this Bible mean to you? It looks really neat right on the coffee table right there. Don't you think? Kind of got a little thing around there? Is it ornamental in your life? Or does it govern your life? Kids will ask. I remember when Elizabeth Elliot was here and she was teaching us about how her father thought that his children were growing up in a non-Christian home because they never paid any attention to what he was saying. Remember she said that? And then she wound up saying that she heard every word. She didn't look like she was listening. You know, kids have got sponges for ears. They just suck up knowledge. They just suck up things. The children, God is anticipating them to come in the future and say, what do these stones mean to you? That's a memorial. What are you going to say? When they ask you, why are we going to church? What are you going to tell them? Don't you dare say, because. Get in the car. You've just messed up potential faith. Stop. Slow down. Give them the answer. Don't ever say, because I'm your dad. Get in the car. Don't crush their little hearts that way. Why are we doing this? Sometimes it's a great question. Why are we doing this? Kids learn so much, they catch on. They're always listening, so we have to be careful how we're teaching. That when that mother had the, mom and dad had the family over, all the neighbors and family over for the Thanksgiving dinner, mom thought it'd be a great thing to have, you know, little Susie say the prayer. Honey, why don't you say the prayer for this Thanksgiving dinner this year? I don't know what to say, she said. Just pray and say the things that you hear mommy say. Okay, so they bow their heads and the little girl says, God, why did I invite all these people over here? That's great. They're always taking it in. The Bible says that children will follow on the sins of their parents to the fourth and fifth generation. Did you know that? Children will commit the sins of their fathers to the fourth and fifth generation unless Jesus is introduced into the factor. Hallelujah for that. Amen. Can you imagine? My uncle was a mugger. My dad was a mugger. My brother's a mugger. I don't want to be a mugger. If you don't want to be a mugger, accept Jesus. He changes lives. I talked to a man not too long ago who's a murderer. He had killed people. God had changed his life. Goes to church, praises the Lord, and serves in a church. Can you imagine? Isn't it beautiful how you and I, we only know each other in one context, isn't it? I say that right now, but looking here right now in the sanctuaries, my old boss, when I was 15 years old of age, working at a liquor store, my first job, maybe he remembers me in a different light. But look how we know each other. Paul the Apostle says, from now on, from this point on, we know no one after the flesh but in Christ. Isn't that awesome? You might stand up and say to me, I'm really struggling with my past. All I want to encourage you is to forget it. Leave it alone. Stop thinking about it. Think about Christ now and forevermore. Leave your past. God has forgotten about it. Leave it alone. And I don't want to know your past. You know why? Because I only know you after Jesus. How do you know me? In Jesus. I don't want you to know me outside of Jesus. Our lives make a great difference. In Deuteronomy 11:18, the Bible tells us, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontlets between your eyelids, between your eyes on your forehead. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk in the way and when you lie down and when you rise up in the morning. In other words, you should talk about God all the time in your home, teaching them. Solomon said this in Proverbs 1:8. He says, listen, my son, to your father's instructions. That's a good thing. Are you instructing your kids, dads? The mothers to comfort and nurse the children. Instruct them, yes. But the fathers are to teach the children. We're to be teachers, not only fathers. We're to be teachers to our kids. And many of us are, the kids would go to public school and hear some religious talk about evolution. That takes more faith in that religion than anything else. And then they come home and they got this thing in their head about, you know, we've been here for billions and billions and billions of years, Carl Sagan said. You need to sit your kid down and teach them the Word of God. You're a hero in your children's eyes. Do you know that, Dad? Even if you've been a jerk to your kids, you know they have this incredible way of looking at you like you're a hero. They will even take the rap for you when you've blown it. But that will only last for a season, and inevitably those children will grow up and know exactly what kind of a father they had. While you have and while I have the time, we need to instruct our kids and point them to Christ Jesus and the Word of God. The third and final point is in verses 9 through 10. Life and what it should mean. Hey, it means that we should be satisfied if we're Christians in this world. Verse 9 says, then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests bore the Ark of the Covenant, where they stood, and they're there until this day. Now I circled that verse. That is a weird verse. Nowhere does God say, Joshua, now you take 12 stones and do something personal in your life. The commandment comes to take 12 stones and set them up at Gilgal. But Joshua goes into the water, not into the water, into where the water once was, into that riverbed, and he establishes stones in a memorial. Where? On the shore? Nope. Two of them in Gilgal? Two monuments? Nope. Where does he do it? In the deepest part of the river, in the midst of the Jordan, the darkest part where the water flowed. Why did Joshua do that? It doesn't say. But we know what's on his mind. Somehow it says in the scripture, to Joshua, God wants him to command 12 men to take 12 stones and take them to the place that they're going to camp, their first new campsite in the promised land. And somehow Joshua wants to erect 12 stones privately in the middle of the Jordan that will soon be covered with water. Why do it, Joshua? And for the life of me, I've got to tell you, I said and I asked myself, really I asked Joshua, hoping that the Holy Spirit would answer back. I sat there with my pen and pencil asking, why, Joshua, did you do that? Why did you put a bunch of stones piled up in a place that no one will see them? In a matter of moments, the water's going to cover them. Why did you do that? And I don't really know if my answer satisfies me at all. But these are the thoughts that came into my mind. Number one, it was personal. Number two, it was in the deepest part of the river. Could it somehow suggest that God had brought Joshua through the deepest hour of his life? Could it mean that in the most rockiest, difficult part, that's where Joshua erected these stones because God had gotten him through the most difficult time? Darkest time? The wettest time? Was it a memorial that's just to be kept private and sacred between a worshiper of God and his God? Whatever it is, I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to realize and to know that we are to have those private places of commitment to God and of worship to God. And the scripture says, by the way, that those stones are there until this day. Well, Jack, you surely don't mean now. That's thousands of years ago. Yeah, I mean now. Well, where are they? I don't know. They're underwater somewhere. Just opposite Jericho, somewhere in the river. See, worship is a spiritual thing. Worship is an eternal thing. We are either worshipers of God and we do it in secret where no one can see, or we're hypocrites and we do it publicly and this is all we do. This is the only time we read our Bible. This is the only time we sing songs. This is the only time we lift our hands. This is the only time we pray. Then we are hypocrites and our religion is worth nothing unless it's done in secret. When the rapture comes, will this church still need parking attendants? That's a scary thought. I hope not. But why, Joshua? I don't know, but in Isaiah 43, verse 2, God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, they'll not burn you, nor shall the flames scorch you. Why two memorials? Why one underwater, hidden away, one publicly out in the sunlight? Why? Because the Jordan signifies a new relationship with God. The walk of faith. The one monument in the sunlight for all the world to see regarding new life. I believe that monument that's going to be erected there at Gilgal is one that speaks of resurrection, a brand new relationship. And by the way, after that wonderful altar is completed, then the children that crossed over are circumcised, not before. They enter the promise of God and the relationship with God before circumcision, which is exactly how it is for us today. We enter the relationship of God prior to baptism, which is a New Testament symbol of the Old Testament circumcision. You're not saved by baptism. You're saved by your faith in Jesus Christ. And because you have faith in Christ, you should be baptized. But baptism doesn't save you. The children were saved, so to speak, after they crossed over. A monument was built, and then God spoke to them about obedience. But what about the altar that's hidden away under the water? That speaks, I believe, of the judgment. Water to the Hebrew mind always speaks of judgment. That's why the new heavens and the new earth, you read it in Revelation and in Isaiah, it's got what? No ocean, no sea. The Hebrew mind concept is that's evil and dangerous. Could that altar in the bottom speak of God's death upon the cross through Jesus, in Jesus Christ? Could it speak of a watery type grave and an empty, or I should say a tomb that became empty? I think that on this earth today is the greatest monument of them all. I've been to Red Square and Lenin's tomb in Moscow, Russia, and Lenin is laying there encased. And he looks quite good, looks quite well. But what a wonderful empty tomb we have in Jerusalem today. What a monument. What a memory. Something was going on personally in Joshua's life. And I want to ask you, is that true in your life? Is it true in my life? Or are we just going through the motions?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at the first 10 verses of Joshua chapter 4, it's a study called Life and What It Should Mean. It's an insightful lesson in how our Creator is in control of the events of history because, quite simply, He is the author of time, past, present, and future. Life and What It Should Mean is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this fascinating Old Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, Pastor Jack is right here to tell us about an East Coast event that's called BridgeFest 2012. What's BridgeFest?
Well, for the last several years, we've been involved in BridgeFest. It's been going on for quite a few years, actually. BridgeFest is the East Coast, the Northeast Coast of America, in the New York, New Jersey area. It's the biggest Christian outdoor thing going on. It's awesome. It's a vision of Lloyd Pooley, pastor of Calvary Chapel Old Bridge.
Oh, I like that guy.
Absolutely. It's just blossomed.
I like that guy.
And it's been a great event, and I'm very excited to invite the listeners throughout the tri-state area to come on out on Friday, June 29th, and Saturday, June 30th, to BridgeFest 2012. They can go online and check it out, but my goodness, Pancho Juarez is going to be there from here, right up the street
yeah.
in L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
From us, and we're going to be having a tremendous time, and I've been honored to play a little role in providing the message, and it's going to be a great time. I was there last year. Lloyd and his team does a great job. BridgeFest 2012, June 29th and 30th. I'd love to see all of our tri-state listeners to come on out. And it's a super time.
I see a URL, www.bridgefest.org. Looks like Phil Wickham's going to be there, Josh Wilson, the museum, and of course, our very own Pastor Jack. Now, this is going to be a couple of days.
It's a great, great couple of days. And listen to this. Not only do we have a tremendous time of the Word of God being preached and all of that, and chapel services, but it all ends with baptism on the beach there in the Jersey Shore. It is a spectacle to behold. It's great.
Again, that's www.bridgefest.org, or simply click the link from our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.